Great Western Show at ESPN 630, presented by Flight by Yuengling. Raise the bar with the next generation of light beer. All right, you want to hear your playoff scenarios for this weekend?
Sure.
Here we go.
Can we start off with one? Is it still true if the Raiders and Chargers were to tie, they'd both make it?
Yes. I think, let me see, where is the tie scenario? I'm trying to find the tie scenario.
Okay.
Let me find that for you.
Okay. All I know is I saw that earlier this
Currently
week.
Currently, it can happen. Yes. Yes.
Okay. Look, like I know, I forget who it was. I think it was whoever the Raiders interim head coach said, like, yeah, of course we're going to play to win. I'm just saying, if you're both guaranteed to make the playoffs with a tie, I don't know. I know it's a bad situation competitively, but 100% chance of getting the playoffs if you tie is odds that I wouldn't mess with. That's all I'm getting at.
Are you saying, like, don't try, just go 0-0?
I'm saying go full gentleman's agreement. Everyone takes knees. Let's get out of there in an hour and a half. Bye. That's what I would do.
So, I mean,
100%. 100% you get in and you tie. Like, I don't know. Like, I'm just saying, I think I'd have a lengthy discussion about it. The NFL would try to do everything they can to get you to not do that, but I'm just saying, if I was guaranteed to get in the playoffs on a tie, I would do it.
Two arch rivals tying. Oh, man. Oh, God. Well, back in the day, Oakland, San Diego was a big deal.
Sure.
Now is Vegas, Los Angeles a big deal? I don't know. Who knows?
Right.
I don't know.
Right.
Let's see. Here's what you got. Bills get the AFC East if they beat the Jets or get the Pats to lose to the Dolphins. Patriots need both scenarios to win the AFC East.
Okay.
Jets to knock up. Ain't happening. All the Titans need to do is beat the Texans, and they're the one seed, believe it or not.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
Yeah.
They're the one seed if they beat the Texans or, you know, get a bunch of other things where they don't even have to do that. Chiefs are playing the Broncos tomorrow. They would need them to lose. Mm-hmm. They need the Bengals to lose. And they would need the Patriots to lose. Or Chiefs loss, Bengals loss, and Bills win against Jets, and then the Titans could still get it anyway, but all they have to do is beat the Texans, and they're the number one seed.
He's coach of the year, right, Vrabel?
I mean,
all the injuries.
Him or LaFleur.
All the injuries that he had, though. Like, LaFleur's largely
gotten through. Derrick Henry for half the year, more than half the year.
Yeah, and then both wide receivers were out at the same time, if not one of them, at least all of the time. Like, I don't even know how many snaps those guys got together with Julio Jones and Brown. So, like,
that is unreal that they're going to be in the one seed. That is really.
I'm that's what I'm saying. Like, Tannehill was your quarterback too, not Rodgers. So, I think Vrabel's got to be coach of the year just of what they've gone through, and they somehow limped their way to the first, first overall seed.
I think there's going to be a lot of support for this Bengals guy because, you know, they kind of people feel like they can't, not to me actually, Mr. Omniscient this year. I saw them coming from a mile away, but,
that's right.
I think I described it as you want a hot take. I like the Bengals this year.
Yeah.
Because they kind of came out of nowhere.
Right.
So,
right.
You know, he's going to get that. I think it's either LaFleur, the Bengals guy, or Vrabel. I agree. Let's see. Chiefs get the one seed if they win and the Titans lose at the Texans. Bengals get the one seed if they beat the Browns. Chiefs lose, Titans lose, Patriots lose. They all have to lose.
Oh. Good luck with that.
Good luck with that, too.
Yep.
The Pats get the one seed if they beat the Dolphins. Bills lose to the Jets. Chiefs lose to the Broncos. Titans lose to the Texans.
That's happening.
I got a better chance of hitting Powerball than that happening.
That ain't happening.
Bill Belichick's the luckiest person on earth if that happens.
Yeah, that ain't happening.
Let's see. Wild card scenarios. Colts are in if they beat the Jaguars. Or... Yeah. Steelers lose at Ravens, Patriots lose at Dolphins, Chargers lose at Raiders. But all they have to do is beat Jacksonville.
Yeah, they'll be fine. Yeah.
Chargers are in with a win against the Raiders. Raiders are in if they beat the Chargers or get the Colts losing to the Jaguars and the Steelers losing to the Ravens.
Or they tie.
Or they both tie.
I'm just saying, man.
Let's see. Steelers are in if they beat the Ravens and get the Colts to lose at the Jaguars. That ain't happening.
Yeah, no.
Ravens are in if they beat the Steelers, get the Colts to lose to Jacksonville, the Dolphins to lose to the Patriots, and the Chargers to lose to the Raiders. Actually, they're only like one scenario away from actually sneaking in, really.
Right.
They are playing no Lamar this weekend.
He's
not playing.
He's out again. Yep. Huntley is back, though, so.
Yeah. NFC is much easier. The Packers are already the one seed. Let's see. The NFC West, Rams win it if they beat the 49ers or they get a Cardinals loss to the Seahawks. I don't think it's a given because the 49ers have to win to ensure getting into the playoffs.
That's right.
So they are in if they beat the Rams or the Saints lose to the Falcons. The Saints clinch a playoff berth with a win at the Falcons and a 49ers loss to the Rams. The NFC playoff teams, the divisions are already settled. Packers, Rams, Buccaneers, Cowboys, Cardinals are already in as a wild card team. Eagles are already in as a wild card team. The wild card can only be decided between the 49ers and the Saints.
Got it.
Okay.
Got it.
There you go. All right, so here we go. Here we go. Tomorrow, 4:30, Chiefs at Broncos. Because they are still alive for the one seed, they're going to play their guys. So I expect the Chiefs to blow them out. This is end of the line for Denver.
Yeah.
Don't know if their coach is coming back. Mm-hmm. Drew Lock's playing quarterback. And they got the unfortunate draw of having to play the Chiefs, not knowing if the one seed is still on the line, which means that they can't rest their guys.
Yep.
So the Chiefs are going to blow them out.
Yeah, 100%. Tomorrow. Yeah. No, yep. That line, actually, funny enough, though, opened up at 12.5, dropped to 11 for that one. So it means so much money is going on in Kansas City. They had to adjust the line on that one.
The Eagles-Dallas game will be interesting only in that do any of these people care about seeding, namely Dallas. Dallas has to win to get out of the four slot. Packers have already won 13. Rams and Buccaneers have each won 12. They've won 11. The best they can do right now is the 4-5 game. If they win, I'd have to look and see what the scenarios are. But let's see, they lost to the Buccaneers. I don't know if they can get out of the four slot, actually. I got to look at this. I'm not sure they can. I don't know what happens in a, if there's a three-way 12-5 tie, I'm not sure how they're going to be seeded. So that one I'd have to look up.
If I'm Dallas, you've had enough injury problems all year.
I rest everybody.
I'd play everyone for like a quarter. I'd let everyone warm up, take the field, and then let all the backups in the second quarter or halftime.
What you are ensuring is that you get the Cardinals then. There's no way around that. You would play the Cardinals who just beat you, but you'll get them at home again.
That's fine.
I agree with that. The reality is, though, if you move up in the standings at all, you avoid them and you either get Philadelphia or San Francisco. And at this point with, frankly, if I'm Dallas, I think I'm killing Philadelphia. So I would love to somehow land on them if that was possible.
Yeah, I think either way, though, you're taking this week by week. I would just rest up.
But let's see. But if you beat them and the Eagles lose, that means the Eagles are the 7 seed no matter what. And I'm not sure you can be the 2 seed. They probably can't play around. I'm with you. Yep. They should rest the people that need to be rested. And Philadelphia, frankly, ought to rest their guys, I think.
Agreed. No,
I agree on that. What's the point? Like, you're either going to play the Buccaneers or the Rams. What's the difference to you?
Yep.
And honestly, like, I ain't beating either one of them. But all right, whatever. That's what I would do if I were them. I'd lay low if I'm them. Okay, so that game's going to be a nothing burger. Bengals at Browns. Baker Mayfield's not playing. I don't think Burrow's playing, right? They said he's not playing either because the Bengals are locked in as a division winner and they can get the one seed, but they need a miracle, you know, for that to happen. So I don't know. I think Cleveland's just gonna, if I had to take a side here, I would think the Bengals are going to win, but who's their backup quarterback?
For Bengals. Sorry. No, I was thinking Browns. Browns. Bengals. I don't even know.
So here's where I am so far. You want to touch a game. Chiefs are more to lock. They're going to blow out Denver. This Bengals-Browns game could go either way if Burrow's not playing. Anything could happen. Because the Bengals clearly, if they thought there was a shot to get the one seed, I guess they would kind of go for this. But that actually gets answered for them. If Kansas City wins on Saturday, they know they can't get the one seed.
Right.
So at that point, what's the point of playing anybody?
Yeah.
So assuming Kansas City wins, they're going to rest their guys. What are they going to do? Nothing.
Your Bengals backup quarterback, Brandon Allen.
Give me the Browns. I like Browns.
I wouldn't touch that game. I would touch the under, though. I touch the under. I don't think a lot of points are going to be scored in that one.
Packers at Lions. Packers have the one seed. Rodgers is, for some reason, intent on playing. But if you listen to Boomer Esiason today, intent also on not playing in the Super Bowl unless COVID rules change.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. This is one of those, like, this is the activist thing that is going to backfire gloriously, like, really, really, really badly. He's going to get a tremendous amount of bad press, except, you know, on Hannity, who's going to love it, that, like, he's thrown the NFL into chaos over something that they support. Ay, ay, ay. Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Yeah. Yeah.
Packers line, I mean, who are the Packers going to play? They already have their one seed.
I'm going to go with the
Packers. Are they seriously going to put Davante Adams out there? Like, what, are they crazy? Why would they do that?
With the Packers, actually, are just going to be a more well-oiled machine and probably take care of business still.
Give me the Lions to win.
Okay.
Take the Lions here.
Doesn't matter, but yeah.
They'll probably try. Give me the Lions.
All right.
Oh, boy. Bears at Kurt. Kurt's going to play. I'll enjoy, you know, as much as I can catch a Vikings Twitter on... We're not making the playoffs. Zimmer might be fired. We're stuck with Kurt because he's making $45 million next year. That ought to be fun. This is probably Matt Nagy's last game, probably. Again, this is another one. Boy, you know, like they had these intentions by putting all these division games at the end of the year, and we've already grown through half of them, and they're all nothings.
Right.
Or one of the teams isn't playing anybody.
That's right.
I think they may have to rethink this. Like, I get the idea of it, and I understand why they do it. This has happened, especially for Washington. How many times have they gotten to this game, and it has been a meaningless game?
No, I mean, it's happened often, especially with the Giants specifically. Yeah, I mean.
Could they have predicted that Packers-Lions might end up like this? Sure. You know, could they have predicted Bengals-Browns might have been like this? They probably didn't think so, but it is. Did they think that both the Bears and the Vikings would be out of the playoffs in this game? No, but they are. You know, like, did they think Cowboys and Eagles were already going to be in the playoffs and the game actually wouldn't matter either way? No, but here we are. I don't know. They may have to stop this because, like, all these rivalry games mean nothing.
No.
I mean, they mean something to one of the teams, but not to the other team. And then the other team's not playing guys. You know, like, it's not good.
No, not good. I disagree, actually. They'll sacrifice the last week of the season because look at how crazy things were up until last weekend. Like, really.
It'd be super crazy if you ended up hitting, like, matchups where if the Colts were playing an NFC team, they might both be alive, you know, this week. You can't game it out, but, like, this gamed out version doesn't work. Like, look at the schedule here. They're all division games, and almost none of them have bearing for both teams. None of them.
I mean, I get it, but I also still think even if those NFC-AFC matchups were happening, I don't think it would matter. I just think it's the way it's shaking out. I'd argue with you that the way the crazy playoff scenarios were working literally 2 weeks ago had probably more people watching and paying attention to their teams down the stretch than other years past. I get what you're saying, but I'm just saying with the last week of the season, this happens anyways. I don't know. Maybe you move a little bit more of the division games, but I don't know. Either way, it's going to happen, I think.
I'll obviously talk more about Washington and the Giants in a little bit, but just for note, they're favored by a touchdown.
Yeah. Yeah, it's one of the most bet-on games of the weekend, actually.
It opened higher than that, which means somebody went on the Giants, which is foolish money. Like,
right.
I know, don't get me wrong, and I'm not just being a homer here. I've watched the Giants the last few weeks. I will be shocked if they win this weekend.
Yep.
Like, I saw this before we played the Eagles. Like, they're inept right now at quarterback. Like, totally inept, laughably inept. Like last week, I wrote it down. Their first play of the game was a strip sack fumble for a touchdown by the Bears. The next series, they threw an interception. Strip sack that was returned to the 4. The next play was a touchdown by the Bears. The next series was an interception. Mike Glennon went 4 of 11 for 24 yards passing. They completed one pass to a wide receiver the entire game.
Crazy.
It's not like they're not trying to throw the ball. They're literally incapable of it. Like, it's really bad.
Yeah. Yeah.
And, you know, their defense actually isn't playing terrible, but their offense has been so bad that, you know, it's like laughable bad. They had a moment in the Bears game last week. This was unbelievable. The kick returner, it was Pharaoh Cooper, I think is his name. I think I have his name right. Let me see. Yeah, Pharaoh Cooper. He did one of those, like, you know, waving it off like he's not going to return the kickoff, like it's going to go in the end zone.
Yep.
And it landed at the 3-yard line and died there. And he had to scramble to go pick it up, and he got tackled at the 4.
Jeez.
Like, really, really, like, bad. Yep. And then, so, like, after watching this, you know, because I didn't see it live because it was happening while the Washington game was going on. After watching this, I'm, like, listening to Joe Judge scream out, "We're not a clown show." And I'm going, oh my God, anybody that watched this game would have thought that was the most inept NFL team they've seen in a very long time. Like, it was really, really bad.
Yep.
All right. Colts and Jaguars, obviously, you know, the world in the AFC is rooting for Jacksonville to somehow pull this off. They won't. Indianapolis is a 15-point favorite. This is a subject probably for next week and really beyond. But Albert Breer, I heard a clip with him on Rich Eisen's show yesterday, mm-hmm. or the day before, I think it was yesterday, where he laid out about a 4-minute thing where a lot of scouts are now very, very, very concerned that Trevor Lawrence is not going to be good. Like, and not just Urban Meyer and the scenario, like, he's not going to be good.
I would try to trade him literally in the offseason then.
Mm-hmm.
Because somebody will try.
I mean, how do you do that? If you do that, then their fans go ballistic on you. How do you go
for the next one? I mean,
well, you are going to have the number one, but the number one pick's not a quarterback.
It's not a quarterback this year.
That's the problem.
Yeah, yeah.
This isn't the Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray thing where you're like, you know what? We'll take that guy and take our chances with him. You know, that's not what it is this year. Like, whoever's got, you know, like, they're going to pick a defensive end because that's who's going number one this year.
Yeah, but what you could do, at least, because it's a quarterback weak draft, you could just dangle him out there. Who wants him? Who wants to bid the highest and then just try to stack up elsewhere? That's what I would do if I was them.
You know, this was bad timing for everyone else who needs a miracle, but I'm assuming the Colts will beat Jacksonville down there. They'll win. Let's see. Steelers at Ravens. This does have meaning. They are both technically alive, albeit, mm-hmm. though, that both are probably going to both be eliminated either way.
Yep.
No Lamar again. This is complicated. I mean, this is another one, an offseason conversation to have. You know, they never signed him to an extension.
Right. Right.
He's heading into he's not going anywhere because he's heading into the fifth year of his rookie contract because they obviously picked up the option and they can play the franchise game if they want to.
Yep.
And I got to be honest with you, that's what I would do with him. Like, this has fallen into that Dak category where they're like, yeah, we'll get around to it. Yeah. Don't worry. We'll get around to it. And they haven't done it yet. I think my gut tells me they will, because I just think he's kind of too important to them.
Yep.
But if you're being realistic about it, I would be very wary about giving him a 5-6 year Mahomes type $300 million deal. I would be very wary about that.
I mean, there's nothing wrong with franchising him for 1, maybe even 2 years. Then, if you don't want to,
you can. Yeah. I mean, like, you can control him for 3 more years.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and I wouldn't blame them.
You can do that. I wouldn't blame them either, actually. Yeah. I would not blame them. I mean, you know, but he'll probably get upset and ask for a contract.
Well,
then you run into a problem.
Well,
right?
If they, in good faith, don't try to negotiate, then they just say, "We're going to franchise tag you." Yeah, he's going to ask for a trade somewhere. Yeah.
We're just going to play out the clock on you, which is, you know, it's a possibility.
Right.
Anyway, Ravens Steelers could be the last game for Big Ben. No Lamar's, Tyler Huntley.
Yep.
Jeez. I don't know. I mean, like, the Ravens are in every game they play. They just lose in the end. And the Steelers are, well, with the exception, they had a couple exceptions. They got blown out. Give me Baltimore to send out Ben in a bad way.
I think it's going to be the opposite. Give me Pittsburgh to send Ben out in a good way. I don't think I think it's going to be close, but, like, I think Baltimore's beaten down by all the last second losses and now really pretty much being out of it. And they didn't get Lamar for God, how long? How long did he miss? Like the last seven games, something like that, isn't it? Like, it's been that long. They're going to be, I think it'll be a little demoralized.
I could be sold either way on that one.
Yeah,
that's one
enough.
Of those. Like that one, that to me is a toss up.
Yep.
All right, let's take a quick break. We'll go through the rest of them next. Bray Wise Show, ESPN 630, Sports Capital. Bray Wise Show, ESPN 630, presented by Flight by Yuengling. Raise the bar with the next generation of light beer. Aaron Rodgers has responded to the Boomer Esiason clip.
Oh boy.
Where he played where they read a text message he received from a source who said that if they make the Super Bowl, Aaron Rodgers plans on boycotting the game unless COVID protocols are changed.
That's right.
Okay. And Aaron Rodgers tweeted, quote, "He's told Jordan Love to be ready. Three laughing emojis. Hashtag dumbest effing story ever. Hashtag fake news. Hashtag boycott fake news. Hashtag boycott bums. Hashtag boycott shoes. Hashtag boycott waterfalls. Hashtag boycott AJ smoking cigars. Hashtag boycott LaFleur's brows." And then something else. I don't even know what that is. So Aaron Rodgers is saying that's not true.
It still could go with your theory that he wanted to throw it out there.
See how people would react.
And took about 5 seconds.
Maybe he's the source who texted Boomer Esiason to
That'd
say
That'd be great.
It.
It's like Ron Burgundy reading the teleprompter. Send Boomer the text. He'll read it on the air. And he did.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, it's the Naked Gun read by Leslie Nielsen as Phil Donahue when he's giving out an award where he reads through all of the cues where he says, here he says, tell him about it, Raquel. Turn to Raquel. Raquel.
Right.
Just keeps reading.
Yes.
Oh, man. Okay. All right. So that did sound preposterous, but, you know. He's an interesting fella.
That's
so
right.
Who knows?
That's right.
Who knows? All right, let's see what else we got here. Titans beat the Texans on Sunday. They're the one seed. Wow. That's one I didn't see coming, especially after Derrick Henry got hurt. If you would have told me they'd be in the running for something like that with their team, I would totally believed you. But once Derrick Henry got hurt, I'm like, well, that's the engine of their offense. Julio Jones or no Julio Jones, I'm shocked they're here. But here they are, and I assume they're going to win this weekend. They'll be the one seed.
I would like to pat myself on the back, and I think you need to give me credit here. I told you they would stay in the one seed with how their schedule was going.
Yeah, that's true.
They were... already in the driver's seat.
Because they beat the Colts early. They never played them late.
Yes.
They got them twice
Correct.
Early when they were not the same team. And, you know, they had four, you get four gimme wins with Jacksonville and Houston
right.
in that division.
Exactly
so,
right.
Yeah.
And so the last game they had Henry was what? Like October? Something like that?
Something like
that. Sounds about right.
Yeah.
And so
he missed about half the season.
Right. And I said they had already stacked up so many wins. They really just had to be 500, if not a little bit above, and they would be perfectly fine. And they have been. They've beaten exactly who they've supposed to beat. The Patriots blew them out. They lost to the Texans, and they were still fine. I'm telling you, their schedule broke in such a way that they actually lost their guys and they were perfectly fine. I'm taking full credit on saying that they were going to remain the one seed because they were at the time.
Look at that run, though. They beat the Bills, Chiefs, Colts, Rams, Saints in a row. That's a heck of a run they had.
Yep.
Then Derrick Henry must have got hurt. Lost to the Texans, got blown up by the Pats, beat the Jaguars, lost to the Steelers, beat the Niners. That's a good win. Blew out Dolphins last week. Here they are.
Exactly.
They hung
exactly.
in there.
The last game they had Derrick Henry was the game against the Colts, I believe. That overtime game on Halloween. That was the last time they had Derrick Henry. So from basically November till now, they did not have their best player, who was basically the MVP of the league up until that point as well. And they got the one seed without him. So good on them.
Vrabel,
like I said, coach of the year probably.
After this weekend, when they are the one seeds, I'm assuming they're winning in Houston this weekend.
Yeah,
I will be very interested to see on the list of favorites just to get to the Super Bowl where they land on that, because they're not going to be number one, and I wonder if they'll be like number three or four, because I think the Chiefs will be one, the Bills will be two, they might be three on that list, maybe.
And also, I mean, it is worth noting. Henry
Pats will be in the playoffs, too. They might put the Pats higher than them to make the Super Bowl.
Maybe. It's worth noting that Henry came back to practice this week. And so, really, that does change the dynamic quite a bit with them. But it depends how good he looks, you know, in actual game action. So, we'll see. There's literally no time to waste for them.
Saints are at the Falcons. Saints are alive. They do need to win and need some help, but they are alive.
Yep.
And I would think, well, I don't know. I don't know. This might be the last game for Matt Ryan. Maybe if I need to look at his contract again, I'm sure they would love to, you know, kind of start over and, you know, go a different direction. But if I remember right, they're in a conundrum like Minnesota is with Kirk. I don't think they can easily get away right from the Matt Ryan contract without doing some very creative stuff. He's an interesting name to watch here, I think, because I think if Washington was willing to take on a lot of the salary, I do think that they'd have to give up less of assets to get him out of there, because it would be such an enormous help on their cap to get out from under it.
Yeah.
So I think he's an interesting name to watch. I don't know how much he would excite anybody here, and I don't know that he's the right guy, frankly, to come here. But I think he's not an under the radar, but mildly under the radar name to watch. If Washington's willing to be creative with Atlanta, and guess who works in Atlanta's front office right now and would love to get out of that contract?
Right.
Our old boy, Kyle.
Kyle. Yeah, exactly.
So I wonder about that one.
I would say this too. It didn't really apply this year, but it applied last year heading into this season that we're in right now. Just remember, everyone was pretty convinced we didn't need an amazing quarterback to get this team wins, right? Like, no. They literally limped with Alex Smith to a division title at 7-9 and like took Tom Brady for three quarters with crazy quarterback play. But I think people kind of underestimate that once again, that a solid to good quarterback that doesn't make the mistakes Heinicke makes is probably still worth like three more wins on what they would have this season. So
Ryan's still got a real arm too. He's got a real arm. You know, well, so here's where it is. I just looked it up. He'll be 37, number one. So, you know, I mean, what are we looking at in terms of
not a huge injury history with him though? I think he had one major injury maybe in his whole career. So yeah, I mean, not crazy on that front at least.
If they were to just release him, it's $40 million dead money for them.
That ain't happening.
So they can't do that. His cap hit is $48 million, so they'd only get $8 million in relief. So let me look here. The base salary is $16.5. The signing bonus, even if they traded him, they're going to lose that. So that's $9.3. He's got a roster bonus, $23. He's got an option bonus, and he's got a restructure of about $13 million. No matter what, trade or whatever, Atlanta would have to eat $9 million, but they'd do that in a heartbeat if they could do it. Would they be willing if we kind of split the difference and turned some of that into a signing, so the restructure into a signing bonus or the roster bonus into a signing bonus and get like the dead cap on them to be closer to 20? Would they eat that and then send back to us somebody who's going to make 25 to 30 million? And take an asset for that second round pick, third round pick,
well, I was gonna say,
maybe a couple.
It's going to be a fourth.
You can't give them a top 10 pick and take on that kind of money and get them out of that hole. You're doing them a favor, really, by doing this.
Yeah, but it's going to be, yeah, we'll take more money if you bump that fourth rounder to a third rounder or that third rounder to a second rounder. That's what it's going to be.
You could do like what the Eagles did with Wentz, which is put it on either playing time or if you guys are in the playoffs, it goes up to this. If you guys go far in the playoffs, it goes up to this. Like that type of escalator type thing. But I think the only way they could get him, I'm sure Atlanta would love to get out of this contract. They can't cut him. They can't they could trade him as is. But who's going to take the cap hit of, like, someone would have to take on, let's see, it would be $40 million. Like, no one's going to take that on either. Like, that's not what the other team's going to take on. You would need Atlanta to agree to restructure some of the restructured money or the roster bonus into a signing bonus that they eat. If they took the option bonus and the roster bonus and put it into the signing bonus, restructured the whole deal, and then they would end up eating 18 to 19 million, and you would get him for about 30.
Right.
And you would have him under contract for the following year, but the cap hit is high again. It's over 40. But you could get out of it at 15 million.
Right, right.
I think either way, you've got to get Atlanta to eat 20 to 30 million of the cap space to get out of it. And you'd be doing them a favor by doing that. And then you got to restructure the other end of the deal on Ryan to make it worthwhile for you to make it cap affordable for the next 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, also...
That's what you have to do.
They are giving you a quarterback. It's not one-sided. I mean, I know...
It's not.
It's mutual, but like...
It's not. They have not won anything in a while. Like, since that Super Bowl, they've gone completely downhill. He is 37 years old, and you are doing them a massive favor by getting out of a cap hell hole for them.
Yep.
So you got to remember that. Is there going to be a vibrant market for Matt Ryan? I don't know. Like, I don't know. Like, one, your team has to be able to eat a salary of at least $30 million, at least,
right,
if not more, to do it next year. And his cap number for the following year is $43 million. You have to get him to restructure that too.
Right.
That's a tricky one. That's a really tricky one. But he's a name to watch, I think. Let's see. Jets at Bills. Bills have to win their division, so they're going to kill them.
They're going to, yep.
Yeah. I mean, the Jets were very competitive last week against Tampa Bay. Highlight of the season at MetLife Stadium is AB.
It's AB, yes.
I think for both teams, the highlight of the season at MetLife Stadium, AB. I got the Bills winning big. And as you know, I'm sticking to my guns. Green Bay Buffalo Super Bowl. Buffalo's about to win their division. They're at home, by the way. Bills Mafia, baby. Bills Mafia, baby.
They're at home, and the line opened up at 17, has only dropped to 16. It tells you all you need to know there as well, that the Bills are not only going to come out, they're going to come out and just destroy them from start to finish. So, yeah, definitely Bills.
The two games that literally have, one of the two games that literally have, both teams have something on the line, 49ers at Rams at SoFi.
Yep.
News came out this week that the LA Super Bowl is not moving, that they are going to keep it there.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Even with all the mask mandate stuff and all the, you know, they're worried about that. The NFL, they can't move that. Too much has been put in motion. They can't move that. They're going to have to bend the rules. Sorry, Gavin Newsom. They're going to have to bend the rules there to make it happen. It's just too much of an economic engine to move it out of there. So anyway, too much money would be lost in the state of California for pulling all this stuff out, too. Rams at home. Rams win. They win the division. Late run by them. Little late swoon by Arizona. Let that happen. 49ers. Is Jimmy G playing this week? I don't know. I don't know if he's playing this week. He's another name that's going to be interesting that might be semi under the radar, at least available. I'm sure totally available. I don't know if we want him, but totally available.
He did.
I like
practice.
The Rams here. He did.
He did practice for the third straight day today.
He's the 49ers.
He's officially listed as questionable. So is Trent Williams as well. Worth noting.
God, boy. Yeah. I mean, I love their roster. I actually think they underperformed this year at 9-7. Hey, McVay knows how to coach, man. Give me the Rams at home. I'll take the Rams at home here. Knock the 49ers. Well, maybe not out, but in trouble for sure.
I don't know. I got a funny feeling that Shanahan comes to play again. Shanahan has been sneaky good down the stretch here. Give me Shanahan to go into LA and beat the Rams.
Okay. Wisely, the NFL put Jets Bills up against Patriots Dolphins because if the Bills had won in the 1 o'clock window, the Patriots could just pull everybody.
Uh-huh.
Now they kind of can't because if the Bills were to happen to lose, the Patriots could still win the division.
That's right.
The Dolphins are technically alive, but I mean, hanging on by a thread here.
Yeah, yeah.
I assume the Pats win.
Yep.
Great comeback by the Dolphins this year from 1-7 to 8-8. I'll give them that. You know, that's amazing. That's amazing they did that, but you know, they ran out of steam. The hole was too deep. Pats beat them.
Yeah, only team in NFL franchise to have a 7-game losing streak and winning streak in the same season.
Yeah. A heck of a comeback.
Yeah,
quite
good
a year.
For them. Yep.
Seahawks and Cardinals. I assume the Cardinals are going to win.
Yep.
They still do have a shot, right, at the division, right? If they were
Correct.
To win and the Rams
yes.
were to lose, they do have a shot.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
So I assume the Cardinals will win, and this is bye-bye Pete and Russ and that whole thing. That's a swan song for them. That one's over. Another one that I called in the summer, I said the Seahawks, this is the year. They go sideways.
End
that's
of
it.
An era, yes.
End Seattle. Of an era. They're
yep.
done. Panthers at Buccaneers. You know, I know the Buccaneers can't get the one seed, but I assume that they win. You know, I don't.
Carolina
can't
do anything on offense. Tampa's going to win.
And then
win big.
We'll see. Will this Tepper guy fire Matt Rhule? That's going to be that'll be interesting. Sunday night, Monday morning. That'll be interesting.
Yep.
Leave him on the tarmac in Tampa. I don't know. We'll see.
Right.
And then Sunday night, Chargers Raiders, the tie bowl.
Tie bowl. Do it.
You know, of all places, too, to have a tie, Vegas is the place to do that, to infuriate the masses in all of the sports books out there, to have to stare up at the screen and watch that in real time. You know, it would be fun, I think. What are the odds are it will end in a tie? Do you put a little money on that one just as a, I'm going to hedge everything here just in case these guys really aren't in the up and up about
this? I mean,
this.
I'm just saying here, like, you could actually tell the Vegas crowd what's going to happen, and I bet you that place turns into the best party of all time. People just start drinking in the first quarter more heavily than they do normally. But
yeah, maybe.
I'm just saying, it's a 50-50 shot if you want to play the game for each team, or you could just have a gentleman's agreement and you both make it. Logically, the tie is what it should be, but because it's football, no one's going to do that. No one wants to do that.
No, I don't think so. I also... I got a funny feeling here. I think if this is on the up and up, I think the Raiders win.
I agree. The Chargers have faltered in every big game that that's been thrown their way this year, and like lost badly in some of them as well. I'm with you. I think that's gonna be Vegas here.
It's gonna be the first real fun crowd where something's on the line there too. I'll be interested to see what that crowd looks like.
Well,
you know, the Chargers don't have a lot of LA fans. Are they traveling up to this one? I mean, I know it's Vegas and all. There's a lot. My friends at Ben Online sent this. They're sending the end of the NFL season. Here's how the over-unders went from the preseason of what they thought things would do.
Yep.
10 teams went under their posted win totals. 15 of them went over their posted win totals. Okay. They were really off this year. 7 teams are still pending, actually. The
Believe
teams that,
yeah.
won the most over their posted totals were obviously Cincinnati, surprised people.
I guess Philly,
Arizona,
too.
Yeah, Arizona went way over. It's a double-digit win. Philadelphia, who everyone thought would stink.
I thought Philly was actually a good bet because I didn't think Hurts was like terrible. I thought he was good enough. So I loved that bet from the offseason, absolutely.
The teams most under their win total projections were Jacksonville, who's only got 2 wins, Cleveland, who everybody, including me, I was bullish all over Cleveland, Seattle, who I loved going against them the whole time. Baltimore did not reach what they thought, and the Giants, who are just at who are currently at 4.5, so they could actually go over.
They got four.
4.5 was their number. Cleveland and Seattle at 3.5, and Baltimore and the Giants at 3 under their respective totals. That's where they are.
Got it.
Where was Washington? They came in saying Washington was 8.5. They're going to go under.
Yep.
So they're gonna miss it by a couple of games.
Same thing. I liked that one in the offseason because it was just the first place schedule, and that pretty much what did them in. Really, it was the end of the year that did them in, but yeah, I liked it because of their schedule.
Schedule was tough. Hold on. Since I yelled fade Tua 8,000 times, let me see where Miami ended up, to be fair to them.
Had to go
their
over, right?
Under was 9.5 under.
Oh, man.
I had it the whole time.
Barely.
Fade Tua. Barely. Let's see. Okay. On Washington's team over unders. This is funny looking back now.
Yep.
What would Ryan Fitzpatrick's total passing yards be?
Oh, God.
He's under.
Yeah.
The number on him was 3,900, actually, coming into the season.
All right.
Under, obviously, all the other ones were clearly under. The total rush yards for Antonio Gibson, 1,050 this year, was the number that they put him at.
Yeah.
He comes into this game at 891, and I'll tell you what, if you were on that, you would have been... He didn't play last week.
Yeah, you were sweating.
He'd be right on it. It could still happen. He'd have to have a huge game this weekend, and I don't know that he's going to play that much.
Yeah.
Total rushing plus receiving touchdowns for Gibson this year. The number was 10. He's at 9.
Oh, man.
So you're sweating that one out this weekend.
Could be sweating that,
Total receiving yards, Terry McLaurin was 1150. He's going to go under that. He only needs 40 this weekend to go for 1,000, but he'd have to have a crazy game to get to 1150. Total receiving TDs was 6.5. I would have bet my house he was going over that this year. That didn't happen. He only had 5.
Hmm. I would say
didn't
this
happened this year.
I'd say this at least with the Gibson touchdown one. You can hedge that. You can hedge that on a Gibson touchdown. So if he gets it, you can at least get your money back. So you can at least hedge that.
All the other ones are Curtis Samuel, Logan Thomas, Chase Young, Montez Sweat. Obviously, never reached any of the Never, yep. for various reasons,
yep.
never reached any of the stuff that we thought they would. For passing yards leader for the regular season, odds on favorite was Mahomes. You could have got Tom Brady at 9-1, who ended up doing it this year. Was actually just the second choice on the board. The receiving yards leader, the favorite was Stephon Diggs. If you picked Cooper Kupp in the preseason, you would have got him at 66-1.
Whew. I mean, who was betting him, though? Nobody was betting him. He was a slot receiver.
I would have been more inclined to pick Robert Woods than I would have to pick him.
Yes.
You know, like on his own team, I would have been more inclined to do that.
Yep.
And if for the rushing yards leader, Derrick Henry may have, would have, could have, should have won it. It was 3-1 as the favorite. If you take in Jonathan Taylor, it's actually the odds aren't as high as I thought they would be. 9-1 if you took him in the preseason to win the rushing title this year.
Still, I mean, that was still like, you know, Henry was just such a big favorite. So, yeah, I mean, it really was anyone else going in any other directions. I doubt it.
That's right. That's right, hon. Oh, that's right. All right. As for Sunday, the finale. Oh, boy. The finale. All right. I'll give you a couple things about the game because we're going to play the game. So I've kind of talked about this a lot here the last, you know, couple hours. Boy, the Giants quarterbacking has been just terrible, and Jake Fromm has barely played, and in the one start he had, he got pulled because he was playing so poorly. Glennon was really awful. Their offensive line has been almost a sieve. Honestly, unless Saquon Barkley is absolutely ridiculous against them, I don't see them moving the ball very much. That said, I do know, in having talked to Ron Rivera the other day, they are going to they're going to give some of the younger guys more reps than I think they normally would if this game had a little more meaning. So I do expect to see some young guys on defense get some time. Like, I think you're going to see more Shaka Toney. I think you're going to see more Derek Forrest this week. I think you're going to see a couple guys. They're going to get out there to get some reps and get on film and all that stuff. So, you know, I think that's a mild advantage for the Giants in that this is there's going to have a tinge of a preseason feel for Washington because they want to look at some dudes. That said, I got a hard time buying the Giants score very much here. Like, their quarterbacking play has been totally inept, and so here's a chance, you know, for a guy like John Allen here to finish off a season where he ends up with double-digit sacks as a defensive tackle. He's got 8.5 in the year. I don't think that's out of the realm here. The center of the line has been really bad, so I expect the defense to play really well. And you know what? I mean, I think Heinicke knows this might be his last shot, so I expect him to kind of take it all in and really come in motivated and want to show that, you know, that he could still be a starter and all that stuff. And I still think he's got like a lot to prove. So I expect him to walk in here motivated. I'm glad they chose to stick with him. I think he's part of the future here. I saw no purpose of starting Kyle Allen this week. So I'm actually, I'm glad that that's the decision they went with. And I fully anticipate that Washington not only wins, but wins easily Sunday. I don't think the game's going to be close. I think they're going to beat them pretty badly.
It's worth noting as well with Kyle Allen. I think it was Ben Standick who asked him about, because he did mention Ron a couple weeks ago saying he wanted to get a look at Allen, and he basically was like, it needs to be the right scenario, which screams to me, if it's a blowout, that's the only time you're going to see Allen. And I kind of liked that. It's kind of a backdoor way of backing Heinicke in that, you know, I don't necessarily need to see Allen, but if we get the opportunity, we're going to go ahead and do it. But yeah, I like that.
And, you know, one other stat that I hope I get to mention, I'm not going to say before, I'll say it here. I'm not going to say it on the broadcast because I don't want to jinx the broadcast, but I'll say it here. The Washington football team has not shut anybody out since 1991. It is by far and not close the longest streak going in the NFL. And I think they got a shot at that this weekend. Yeah, just because the Giants are just struggling so badly on offense that, I don't know, maybe. So I'd love to see the season end like that. We can end a streak like that.
That'd be good.
In the last game ever with the Washington football team.
That's right. Yes.
That's going to be weird. That is going to be weird. I haven't decided yet. Do I mess with Julie during the broadcast about it, or do I not mess with during the broadcast about it?
I think in the fourth quarter, if things are in hand, you get a little conversation time. I think I think you even joke, like, can we test some new names out in the fourth quarter?
That might be fun. Okay.
First down, Demon down. Cats.
Yeah. Let's go, Armada.
That's right.
First down.
Yeah. You just start messing with the names. I think that's a good idea, actually.
That might be fun. All right, we'll think about it. Let's see where we are. We're in a tight, close game. I'm not gonna joke around too much. If we're blowing them out, which I think will be happening, and we got some downtime in the fourth quarter, wheels come off, baby. Wheels come off.
Terry McLaurin sails in for the touchdown. Yeah. Touchdown, Armada.
D Demon Cats.
There you go.
My personal favorite, Demon Cats. New snapper for the Demon Cats, Cameron Cheeseman, had an outstanding rookie season.
Yeah, that's a mouthful.
Yeah. All right, everybody, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you 11 a.m. Pregame show. Julie Santana, we got the call at 1 o'clock of the finale. Talk to you then. We'll see you on Monday. Brave Watch the show, ESPN 630 Sports Capital.
When you have sports mixed with your pop culture, along with humor and celebrity interviews, your earbuds are enjoying the Rich Eisen Show.
Kevin Millar, we're all paying rent in Ohtani's world, right?
And the Dodgers world. Game is healthy. Game is good. And, you know, I get asked a lot, is that good for baseball? Yeah, it's good for baseball. This is definitely the team to beat, because that should be your next correction, Richie, is this World Series a bust for the Dodgers and Dave Roberts?
Hell yeah.
Search for the Rich Eisen Show on YouTube or wherever you listen.